Okay, we'll call the meeting back to order again as the Story County Board of Commissioners. First item will be the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All righty. If you're here for the America's Got Talent tryouts, it's the next door down on the left. I don't know if you're all in the way. Anyone needs an extra seat, you can certainly come up here, all the way up in the front. Okay, go on here. Item number four is approval of agenda for today. Anyone have any corrections, changes, blah, 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 blah? Okay, looking for a motion then.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, at this time I'd like to move for approval of the agenda, May 7th, 2013.
I second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, public comment, anything that's not on the agenda, just general public comment? Any public comment? Once, twice. Dale?
Yes.
How did I know?
Am I ready?
You're ready, my friend. Come on up.
He turned the light on too quick over here.
That's not working.
One of these days I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to come up here and say something good about county management. Our manager is on record saying all these high costs we've got on the health insurance for our workers is generated by Obamacare. I'm in a plan myself other than Medicare, my secondary insurance. And Medicare pays first and then them, but Obamacare is on us too. But I pay $250 for my wife and I for the secondary insurance and $102 or $3 each for about $455 a month. And I looked at the numbers that we're paying for Bum Hess and it was $19,800 a year. And I just think there's something bad wrong with management that we can't get our county together with other counties or a bigger number instead of sitting here choking to death on a little handful of people. And I have to pay the tab for that. And my prescription drug plan, I get anything that is a generic and I'll take it, I get it for free, 90-day supply. If there is a generic and I don't want it, it costs me $40. And if there's no generic, it costs $10 for 90-day supply. And there's just something wrong with our management that we're not doing what they could do and getting a bigger group. You might even try OE3 and see if they'll let you in our group. They got around 49,000 people and they got one of your units here. And they do take in public employees, but there's groups like the state. You could talk to Washoe County. You could talk to all of the little surrounding counties that we're getting hooked up with. Thanks, Bill. You did that for me.
It's not working.
Anyway, a little statistic showed that 85% of public sector management comes from the bottom 5% of the workforce in America. That's whether it's federal, county, state, the whole swath of those people. 80 or 85% of them come right out of the bottom 5% of the workforce. So that's the reason we've got these issues. I would like to find out how to get things on the agenda. I've got some real serious problems. Number one is a brothel licensing fee for the Wild Horse Brothel. I've got some data, and I finally tracked back in this. And we had two brothels down there owned by the same people. And they were paying, I think, $75,000 a year for each one. And now they're down to one fee, and they're both Wild Horse Brothel / Mustang Ranch, one company. Anyway, I'd like to get that on the agenda so we can talk about it. If we're going to cut them down to $35,000, there's people in this town right out here on the street that's got two businesses, and they pay two license fees. So I'll move on to my next issue. Pat Whitten's $43,000 unearned pension credit. I'd like to know how that come about. Usually these pension credits for retirees are when they retire, you can buy them up to 5 credits. They did this for the school teachers to get rid of those old bags that was 25 years in and making $100,000, and they wanted to get rid of them and hire two out of college for the same money that can one. But we started getting this. We're $700,000 in this countywide over 10 years. Over $700,000 we bought just out of charity. I worked my whole life, and the only thing I got is what I earned. Nobody come around and says, hey, Dale Beach, here's a bunch of money extra for you. You're a nice guy, and you worked here, and we give you a cold watch. And so we need to stop this business. Cut it off. And we need to look into, maybe the attorney can, our DA can hire somebody that he knows and see if this is altogether proper. There's a little place down in California called Bell, California City. Seven out of the eight city councilmen's in, waiting trial, waiting for a sentence. They've already convicted felons. The assistant manager of the city, a lady, she joked up pension up to over $250,000. They whacked her in the ass and says, you earn $38,000 when you get old enough to draw it. That's what you'll be getting, ma'am, after you get out of jail. So we need to go into some of this stuff. You know, I'm afraid that I'm going to get some mail that's going to say Bell County, Nevada, for Christ's sake. It's a story county. And then the fire department and the sheriff's department. The law makes us have a sheriff's department, sets his rate of pay. We don't have to have all those high-priced battalion chiefs. We got, I don't know, 10 and one and 11 another, and the high-priced chief, and then he's two battalion chiefs. We got three people watching 11, and for over $500,000. Some of this, and those aren't union people. You can't say, oh, that's a union contract. The hell no, it isn't. And we got to do something about that. You people have got to start listening to we the people. We're getting killed. I mean, that money could be down in my neighborhood. You know, we've got issues down there. We could take a little more money. And what else? Yeah, Mr. DA, I want him to find out if we get our money back from this $43,000 we paid for the managers for a year of pension credit. So maybe we can start at Alphabet and start using this money to buy pension credits for best citizens. I'm B, so I'd be right there. Oh, good luck, they can't shut me up. I get another 30 minutes. And so I'd like to get some of this stuff on the agenda, you know. I mean, Lance isn't a coward. He can get up and talk, and we can put another one of these over there, and we can have debates. I can debate him for a while, and then somebody else can come up and debate him over what's right and what's wrong with these issues. I mean, Christ, we're sitting here on a $20 million a year's expense that we're paying out, and people like us, and nobody wants to go and do. And I asked Lance this in before he got elected. I said, how about doing some work? Take Story County against Mineral County, against Lander County, against Humboldt County, right up the street here. Those are all little counties. They're trying to, these people, and they've got nothing too much to do but sit around and wonder when to wash the fire truck. And we just eating it. I mean, I'm dying. Nobody come down and said, would you like to have your taxes cut in half, Mr. Beach? If you ever do, I'll take it. You don't even have to come down. Just right in a half minute. So,
all right.
If you'll be excusing me early, I've only got a minute and 6 minutes in there. But I'll thank you all. I'm going back and climb into sick bay.
Thank you so much, Dave. Always a pleasure. Dale, we'll see you in a month or so, huh? All right. Moving along then to any more public comment?
Mr. Chairman, I think it's too bad that Dale left. I can speak a little bit on the insurance issue. I've had a lot of experience dealing with insurance companies over the years, being in private business, and we're not afforded the luxury, the county, of teaming up with another county or other municipalities to get into a bigger group. Insurance companies don't offer that to us. If they would, we would certainly look into that, because it is the most affordable way to go, is to get into the largest group available, because they spread the losses out in a wider base. He puts on his comedic act for us, and that's fun, and we enjoy him as much as the audience does. But sometimes, simply because he says it, doesn't make it true. And this, in the county, the people who are looking after the revenue in this county, the taxpayers, all of you in this room, we're doing due diligence the best that we know how, and we have the best people working on it. So please believe me when I tell you that if there's a way to cut the health care costs for the employees of the county, we're certainly going to do it.
If I can add in on pooling insurance, as you know, we participate in a pool that's known as the Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool, and then another pool very closely related called PAC, which is the Public Agency Compensation Trust, which is our workers' comp. Over the years, Hugh Gallagher and I have repeatedly petitioned both those pools to look at establishing yet a third interrelated pool for employee benefits, and they have not taken us up on those suggestions. So it's certainly something that, you know, I'm not any happier with our insurance premiums than any. 9.9%, it's pretty hard to stomach, regardless of whether Obama caused it or not.
I have to tap onto that too a little bit, because the Affordable Health Care Act is not very affordable for anyone right now. That's really, really a big tap.
And then if I may too, I would be happy to answer any individual's questions that have the guts to come to me or give me a call as to the reasoning that the prior board opted to purchase 1 year of retirement credits for me.
Okay. You had to call it.
Yeah. Do you have any comments, Lance?
No, I'm going to withhold my comments for later.
Okay. Nicole, come on up.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. I just have a question. Do you have a status on, and I can't recall the SB number, on the bill that's currently going through or being considered to do the swap between the TRI parcel and the other residential parcel? Have there been any conversations? Have any changes occurred? Is it still a plan to put it on ballot for us to vote on?
SB 272, is that?
Yes. 217. And Nicole, it has passed out of Senate. It has had one committee reading, and we're waiting to see where that committee in the assembly takes it.
And it was I made some comments at the assembly committee hearing on that. That committee is not real attuned to what is going on with that, so I expect that I'll be back down there again. In fact, one of the assemblywomen said, well, why can't you just do that with an interlocal agreement? And I said, well, you know, without trying not to embarrass her, it's your baby down here in Carson City. We're not allowed to do that. You're the ones that are charged with making county line adjustments. And she didn't understand why we couldn't just do an interlocal agreement. But it's still got a ways to go. It'll be heard again in the assembly. And then, of course, it's got to get past the floor and then to the governor and be signed. So until the governor signs it, I don't think we're going to do anything.
And to answer your other question, I think the only other time we discussed this publicly, we were hoping for an amendment that would allow us to do one and not the other, or both. We wanted them separate. Yeah. We were successful in getting the original language amended.
We did get that amendment.
Okay, so that was going to be my other question. Yeah, as long as they're disconnected.
Both boards still would have to approve it.
Okay.
And they can approve one piece or the other, or both, or none.
Okay, great.
And
thank
it
you.
Could go, I mean, it could go in file 13, too. We don't, you know.
But when you say amended, and passed the Senate, or?
Amended and passed the Senate, and now over on the Assembly side.
Now, do they have to also agree to the amendment and then agree to the whole, or just they're just now reviewing the amended bill?
Yeah, well, hopefully the amended bill, because that's where the testimony is staying neutral. It's neutral if amended. It's opposed if not amended.
Okay.
And with the Assembly, if they adopt any other version other than Senate, then it has to go back into work sessions between both to kind of hit whatever compromise may or may not, and often those bills die.
All right, and those amendments and any other activity that occurs with it is public knowledge, so we can look it up for ourselves on the state website. Perfect.
Yeah, and oh, let me throw one other thing in there. This has come up a number of times in the past. This, the owner of that property has had that property for about 30 years now. They have tried and tried and tried. We've always killed it down there, but it keeps popping up. So our feeling was that let's get it up, get it out in the open. Let's not go yay or nay on it. So we went in neutral. But we support the legislature passing it, getting it out there so that Story County and Washoe County can sit down and have some discussion about it and see what's best for everyone else. And then once we see what the developer wants to do with it, I've already told him, I said, be prepared to put on a pretty good dog and pony show, because it's going to be a hard sell up in the Highlands and probably the River District also. So.
And we will get, it will be on the ballot, right?
Yeah, and then we go to the Planning Commission and the whole thing. And of course, Washoe's got to buy off the whole thing, too. So if there's nothing in it for Washoe, it's probably going to be. And then there's a sundown date of June of 2015.
Okay. It just goes away. Nicole, the insurance that I wanted to give to you to make is that this entire commission has listened to the request in the bill. The bill requires us to do nothing. And what we required in the bill is the residents of the Highlands will control their destiny on what happens there. And if the developers can make a presentation that the folks in the Highlands approve, then your board will stand behind it. But if you don't, then we're not supportive of the bill. So we want to leave it in the hands of the community. And that's the decision we've made, all of us collectively.
Okay, that sounds great. I'd like to wait and see what the detail of that looks like, because it could be a vote, it could be a vote. And we talked last time I asked this question on that it would be about on the ballot for the entire county, because I don't think it affects the Highlands.
We're not even to that.
Okay, fine. We'll just wait for the detail when that comes out.
We did know about the lobbyists for the developer of the Story County existing piece, that they would have to do the entire process sooner than later. Because if it was going to fly at all, it would need it to, and there was a date Vanessa gave me of June, Vanessa? Of June of next year. So he can't wait the whole 2 years.
Okay, great.
One other comment if I make. It is not a swap that has to be approved between the Sunny Hills property and the property out on I-80 that's a part of Story County, that or Washoe County, that could come into Story County. They're a separate issue. Either one of them could be approved or disapproved. They're not attached.
Perfect.
As a swap.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
My name is John Miller. I'm the coordinator for the River District Neighborhood Watch, and this might be something you people haven't heard. I want to congratulate the board and the Public Works and everybody for what they've done at the Louise Perry Park. We now have washrooms. We have a fountain drinking. The lawn is being taken care of much better. I have been told that there's going to be lights being put up there. So, personally, myself, I congratulate you guys. Thank you.
All right. Any more? Any more? Any more? Who else we got here? Jana, come on up. How are you?
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Janet Coates. I'm glad that you all have it. How about Mount King? When are we going to have it? Hope soon, right?
Yeah.
I have just a question on the insurance. From what I view is that you said that you all have reviewed it. I have even asked how much is our retirement. Retirees get paid for the insurance for, I think, about a month now. I have not gotten any response. And additional say that you say also that you have looked a lot of means, but I have been to the local government finance meeting, and I have not seen any one of our commissioner appealing to them, asking them to help us out. That's all I'm asking. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All righty. Consent agenda. Any comments or changes or anything from anyone? Okay. Looking for a motion to approve?
I will make a motion to approve the consent agenda for the day.
All righty.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, item two. Okay, committee and staff, Chief, let's start back with you, huh? Oh, by the way, you're fired because Dale House said you're just, you know, we don't need them. Those guys in Lander County, you know, they work for free.
Yeah, except Lander and Mineral are 90% plus federal land, so maybe I'll talk to the federal government. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Honorable Board Commissioners, and it's nice to see so many public members here. Just a quick briefing from our last meeting. We will be moving forward, as you know, with our grant for fuel reduction programs with a RFP for community wildfire preparedness plan updates. That was last done in 2005. It needs to be updated. I think we've met just about close to 100% of what they required or recommended in that CWPP. So we're excited to see what they come up with for our next 10 years. That will be going out in legals next week. So if you see that, it's not the fire district funding it, it's actually through a grant. The seasonal academy for the county side of things started yesterday. Those folks are working hard. They should be fully functional online by the 20th, out to their stations. And again, we'll have some seasonal staffing divided up equally between Mark Twain, the Virginia Highlands, and the TRI area. We're very, very happy to announce, too, that we just were notified yesterday. We've been putting for a health and safety grant for communities through FEMA for the last at least 3 years that I can recall for a smoke detector program. We were awarded $41,000 that will tie in perfectly with our 30-foot clearances. So when we come out to do 30-foot clearances this year, we'll be expanding to include checking smoke detectors in residences and providing 10-year batteries for your smoke detectors at no cost to this grant. So we're really happy that we finally received this. I think the board's already been apprised via email, but we have an engine company in Southern California helping them with their devastating fires. Hopefully they'll be back tomorrow, late tomorrow. This last weekend, we were fortunate to partner with several county departments as well as Comstock Mining and the State of Nevada Emergency Response Commission. And we put on a hazmat drill for the Quad County team. Down at the mine site, it was based on cyanide. That was a very good drill. There were a few things that we identified that we need to tweak and modify for future responses there, so that was very positive. Another thing that we've done this last since the last meeting is there's basically two companies that will do collections for EMS billings in this local area. One company we've been with for many years. We just started entertaining dialogue with the other company. Not that we would use one company against the other, but of course we will. So we were able to drop with our existing provider the collection percentage rates from 45 and 35 down to 35 and 30%. So that'll be very helpful for next fiscal year and provide and keep more money in the local coffers. Two of our employees, new hire employees, graduated from the Regional Fire Training Academy on the 26th of April. That's Jake Jacobs and Hillary Larrabee. They're on the line actively working currently. And I just want to say a special thanks to our crews. We had a structure fire in Gold Hill on Sunday night, and they performed extremely well. Minimal damage to the house. It got up in the attic. They got to the attic very quickly. Kept it from running the entire attic, so they did a phenomenal job, in my opinion. Of course, Grand Prix staffing, that went out without a hitch. We had two extra staffed ambulances over that entire weekend. Only had about 7 transports directly related to that event, probably another 14, 15 on-scene treatment type calls. So not a real busy week and in years past. And I think that's all I have, except for the ambulance subscription, which is on the agenda later. Okay. Can I answer any questions or anything?
No, I'm good.
No, thank you.
Hey, thank you. Danny?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, just wanted to report back on a great success over this last weekend. That was the first time we really had a consolidated effort to do something in the way of cleaning up our neighborhood. Waste Management, Story County teamed up and put on free dump days, which we've done in the past. But this year, with the other departments getting involved, we including Public Works, our fire department. Gary got NDF crew up here working for a day or two. His guys were hauling stuff to the dump. Mike's guys at Public Work made the dump guys down there a little bit excited because the amount of dump trucks that we had going down there that were generated from elderly and disabled. We opened up to our some labor and some of our equipment, and we had over 15 people that called in, asked for assistance, and a couple of them, I think down there, Mark Twain, was about two or three dump truck loads, so actually abated a few nuisance calls that we had on the book, so which is a great thing. I look forward to ramping that up next year. And then, second of all, coming up this weekend, I need to know a show of hands, how many people like chili? Come on, come on, come on. Not very many. How many's going to come up and support town this weekend? Come on, come on. You can bring your mom. It's Mother's Day weekend. We've got a lot planned. We have, again, just for the public, we're going to be closing the street from Taylor to Sutton. Cross Street Union will stay open. I'm also happy to announce we have a minimum of about close to 20 local vendors and cooks, which is great. We need to fill up the street for this to make it look right, to make it have the right feel. We have a fun zone for kids. There'll be live music both days. There is some adult entertainment as well as a beer pong and a beer crawl. And it's a great one of our best family events, one of my personal favorite. I hope everybody comes. You can buy tickets right now online. Just jump on visitvirginiacityenv.com and buy some tasting kits. Actually, you get three free tasting kits if you do it before Thursday. So, or three free coins that are redemptions for chili. So with that, we're looking good. The weather looks like it's going to be about close to 80 degrees.
Yeah.
The Lord's shining on us again for a second big event. So
it's close to 80 degrees in here right now.
Yeah.
Now the weather's going to really cooperate. I'd like to add to that, Denny, that the Lockwood community also held a dump and cleanup day. It was tremendously well attended. Willie Knox was here today, and her crew down there in that neighborhood got together. They had pickup trucks running on every street. They were helping the elderly. They hauled load after load after load out of there, and it was wonderful to be a part of that. So I'm looking forward to a standard type program in all of our communities, and it's a great effort and a great result. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Hugh.
She's expanded. It's going to be longer. I'm trying to cramp her with that. Sure.
One day. Yes. I agree.
A couple of weeks ago.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Since our last meeting, I was invited to an afternoon tea to the home of Judy Cohen, and Nicole Barr was there, and they wanted a discussion about several items in question, least of which was the annual audited report and the financial presentation of what we do in general. At my age, I'm not surprised by much, but I was certainly enlightened by this meeting. These two ladies know their way around a balance sheet and income statement. And through the course of the conversation, came as to a piece on the educational side that not very many people can understand a financial statement from a public government, let alone some private ones. I agree with them wholeheartedly. If you probably looked at the word deception, you would probably see a public financial statement right next to it in the dictionary, because they don't go into a lot of the nitty-gritty details that a private function does. With that in mind, I pretty much promised the two ladies that I would conduct some classes on what governmental accounting is, how you look at a financial statement, how you can get more information from my financial statement, and basically what the words of the document mean. Now, this is an audited financial statement. unlike an internal document that is unaudited that sometimes we produce. In addition to that, I'm going to ask both of those ladies to be on a committee of mine that after when we get the draft of this next financial statement by our outside auditors, I am going to give them a copy to go through because they go through every single letter, very meticulous, and to be at least another set of eyes. I am only one set of eyes in this whole process. I would elicit their help, and if you could please do that, I would certainly appreciate it. Thank you.
You know, comment you, I applaud this so greatly from a committee standpoint. You know, this commission is absolutely committed to a government that is very visual, and we are all looking forward to that kind of a process. And for you to step out and bring a committee together, one of the things that's distressed me is that very often folks will stand at that podium and make accusations and throw out numbers that are very suspect or unsubstantiated, which lead to a public misconception of what might be happening. And I applaud greatly for you bringing that level of visual to our community. And thank you so much for making that effort.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. The two of you, thank you very much.
Nicole, come on up.
Well, first I want to thank Hugh for being open to it, because I know that it's always difficult in his type of job, especially with dealing with that many numbers, to take yet more input. One thing, however, the second piece of that education is one of the things that I know I suffer from as a resident is that the reports are published, and whereas I can kind of read them, the government is a mystery to me, but I can more or less read the government statements. What I don't have the opportunity to do when I'm reading them is to sit down and ask questions about it. So the other part of that conversation that we had was, Hugh, you know, I think we as residents need to have the opportunity to be in front with you in a meeting where we can ask you questions about that financial statement. And I said, oh, by the way, after 30 years, I'm barely being able to understand that myself. But that until I actually had to manage one, I didn't care. As a citizen, I do care. I may not know how to read it, so I think that Hugh kindly offering to do two things. One, to hold meetings in the communities where part of that is to teach us, okay, here's how it looks from a government standpoint now, and then open it up for us to ask questions, whether it's quarterly or every 6 months or even annually, but to give us the opportunity in each one of our communities to better understand our county's numbers. That way, we will be prepared when we come to these meetings and not be asking that level of detail of you. We will already have it as a result of Hugh working with us in each of our communities. So
another thing I'll add to that, if I may, Nicole, is we're looking at a system and a process whereby the various departments on these meetings and at the commission meetings will address the commission with issues monthly that are going on within their budget, especially their overtime. Mm-hmm. And not that overtime isn't appropriate. We have emergencies, we have times where you have people sick. There are times when you have to do that. But I think it's important that we all together, public and the commission, look at in the open line today. So the other thing you're going to see, in addition to what Hugh is offering, is after the new budget is approved, you're going to see regular monthly meetings where we all talk together as a team on what's happening in our King's Story County.
Okay, and that's operational, and that's the business of running the county.
Yes.
What I'm talking about is at the point that the quarterly report comes out, you know, if the community wants that, then Hugh comes out to the Highlands, to Mark Twain, to wherever, and says, okay, on this night for an hour, I'll be there to answer questions about the quarterly or about the audited financials. I don't think any of us have the time to get involved in your monthly operation.
He has gone so above and beyond the demand for our community, and I don't think any of us can thank him enough. It's really generous on your part.
Can we really believe that all he drank was tea? Can we really believe that all he drank was tea?
With the Tea Party.
Let's see, who's my sheriff.
this great sea of bodies out here. It's hard to kick all these guys out.
I don't want to do that.
Just a couple things. This past week was Law Enforcement Memorial Week. Everybody, I'm sure, saw the parade on Saturday up here. It was attended very well. Doug Gist and the folks downstairs at the museum did an excellent job of putting that together. Last week we also had the State Peace Officer Memorial in Carson City and the Hoff Memorial in Reno. Some of my folks there, Deputy Mahan, was attending in Carson City, Sergeant Bowers and Deputy Gloniak represented the Sheriff's Office very well at those functions. Chief Ames mentioned the Grand Prix from an enforcement perspective. It went without a hitch. We probably had less complaints this year than we've had for the last several. Still a few, but by and large down from the past and very little of an enforcement issue. During that same weekend, we did our annual fundraiser for Special Olympics, and as was reported in the paper, we raised over $1,000 for that charity, so that was a fun thing. Last week also was the Nevada Sheriffs and Chiefs Convention. We talked quite a bit about legislation that's going on. I brought one up at staff meeting this morning on the BLM restricting counties from their ability to place fees or regulate any activities on federal lands. So there seems to be quite a push to get that bill passed. I don't know if it's in the best interest of the county or any county. Pretty much takes away all rights of the local government and gives everything to the federal government. So if collectively we have opposition to that bill, then we need to be voicing it to our representatives down there, Carson City. And the last thing, just whenever you attend those meetings, it's generally never good if you're not paying attention. And at the Sheriffs and Chiefs meeting, I am the new Secretary Treasurer for the Sheriffs and Chiefs Association. So, other than that, anybody questions for me?
Nothing here. Okay. Thank you, sir. Paul, Quan, come on up. Tell us all about gas.
I'm Paul Quam, and my role here is to bring natural gas into Gold Hill, Virginia City. Oh, what a task, what a challenge. There will be someday a gas line into our area here. Sooner the better, because what's driving it is economics. Southwest Gas sells natural gas to their customers in the Dayton area, Western Nevada area, for as a propane equivalent, 80 cents a gallon.
Yep.
That almost knocked me out of the chair yesterday afternoon. 80 cents a gallon. I don't think there's anybody here buying propane for 80 cents a gallon. Now, when we get it up here, there will be a surcharge on top of that. The reason why we don't have natural gas right now is the extreme rough terrain. That has caused a lot of misconceptions, which I'm now battling, that natural gas can't be brought up here. It can be brought up here. The most difficult part of bringing it up here is the digging. I mean, we know the distance, we know how much the pipe costs, we know what the valves cost, etc. It's how tough the digging is. That is the whole trick. And people out there who I'm talking to now need to be convinced that it can be done. I talked to an older gentleman this morning, old like me, and he's been digging in the Dayton Valley in the Comstock lode here for his entire life. And he led me through on the phone every quarter mile from Highway 50 to here, and he told me exactly what we face. But even though there's a couple difficult spots, he says, here's how it can be done. There's some new machinery out there. It can be done. The easiest route would be to go up Six Mile Canyon. That would be the easiest, that's the easiest digging from what I can figure out. However, we would leave some important customers behind. We have to connect to Highway 50 to the Paiute line because it's a high pressure line. We can't connect to one of the distribution lines to New Washoe City. They're too lower pressure. We need a lot of pressure to boost the gas up to here. So, in the near future, I will be needing some data from the business community here in Gold Hill, Virginia City, insofar as how much propane, heating oil, electric perhaps, they're, how much they're using in a 12-month period for their premises. We need that to know what our load is. Because I believe our load is actually quite substantial up here. We're spending a lot of money. I think in January, my house here in Virginia City, I think I spent around $500. And we don't even heat all the houses. I mean, all the rooms, rather. We don't even heat all the rooms. So the task continues. It's a chore of cooperation and coordination with other governments, other businesses, because many projects are happening, and the natural gas pipeline is going to have to coordinate with them, such as if another entity is building a trench up from Highway 50, we can if it's a water trench, we can share that trench. And if other trenches are being dug on our way, some of them we can share. We can't sewer, but we can share water. So it's the task continues, and I am upbeat about it, but it is going to be a tremendous job, but there is a reward at the end.
Mike,
thank you very much.
Mike, share a quick story, if I may, right quick. Vince Griffith is here in the audience, and our terrain at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center is not basically different than it's what I hear in Virginia yeah. City and in accessing Virginia City. And I will tell you throughout the park, we have 200 lane miles of roadways, and we have laid high pressure and domestic level pressure gas lines throughout that entire park. Dean Haymore can attest to what's there. We used shared trenches when we went forward with it. We used a lot of the specialized equipment that puts it in. But it is a viable project, it is achievable, and I can tell you right now, I don't know how many miles of gas line we've laid out there, but well over 100. It's an achievable task, and I applaud you for doing that.
Thank you, and I think we can learn from your experience out of TRI.
Talk to Vince, he's right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. That guy right there. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. And just so it's clear, I'm retired from the Public Utilities Commission, and I work this area among other areas, and when I came on board with Story County, the public is already paying me once. Being retired from the PUC, I am not collecting another penny from you folks. This is on me. I mean, you're already paying me on my retirement from the state.
Awesome.
By the way, Mr. Quam, I've already received some positive feedback from you going around town and interviewing people on what their thoughts are and their needs in Virginia City. So it's people like the idea, and you know, if we can supply Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City, I think it'd be a win-win. Just, you know.
Go ahead.
All right, Mr. Commissioners, and yes, I want to thank Paul Kahn for volunteering in our county to provide these services. It's really appreciated. Thank you. Now, just a couple items with our agenda. I'm going to keep it short. I just want to remind, we have a lot of Lockwood folks here today, so I want to remind them, I know I'm being a little redundant, that May 16th is our Planning Commission meeting at the Rainbow Bend Clubhouse, and at that meeting, we're going to have the Truckee River Flood Project Management Authority from Washoe County is going to give a presentation at that point and present what their potential plans are under a 100 and possibly a 75-year flood plan if they ever do it. What that may do to impact Rainbow Bend. And they're going to present, really focus on three potential models. One is to do an in-stream flood wall. It'll basically be getting a flood wall that goes right down to the bottom of the river and up against Avenue de la Clerce. And then the other model would be to do a top bank flood wall. And as if anybody here remembers the flood walkway that we had, you know, seen and all that, that idea will go away, and there will be about a 22-inch flood wall that will go along the top of the ridge along the highway, or the highway, the road. And then the third one would be to be potentially, at their cost, to raise Lockwood homes a foot or higher in the air. So I'm not going to talk a lot about their plans because they're going to do that at the meeting. But I just want to make everybody aware that this meeting is taking place. It will be at a regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting. And while there's a captive audience, I plan to do a master plan workshop after the flood project. So for anybody that wants to stay around, I'm going to give a presentation on findings I've come up with regard to population trends in Story County, demographic trends in Story County, basically from the last 5, 10, and 20-year period, and how we compare to our neighbors, Washoe, Lyon, Carson City, Douglas, and Churchill counties. So I just want to give a little update on that. And that will be a participation meeting where I'll give a presentation, and then I'm going to receive comments from the Board of the Planning Commission as well as from the public on things they'd like to see happen in the Lockwood and River District area in the next 5, 10, and 15-year period. And I just want to make a real simple note. On June 20th, Comstock Mining is going to do their annual compliance review. So they'll just come up to the Planning Commission. It'll be very simple. From what I see on my desk, there's not going to be any problems or issues, but they're going to give their annual update per their special use permit. And that'll be applicable only to the exploration special use permit, as according to that permit, they have that requirement. It won't apply to anything else, but sometimes other things get discussed. And that's it. Thank you.
Did I miss anybody?
Dean,
come on up.
How could you miss him? Start the clock.
Commissioners, thank you. Dean Haymore, Story County Community Development Director. Just wanted to let you know that we are going to start the process to adopt the 2012 building codes. We'll do the public notices and everything else. We're mandated by our own ordinance to have the latest codes. Shannon Gardner has been very busy with the code adoption committees with the amendments, and we'll bring those in front of you. Also, Stacy in my office is working very hard, and let the community know they will start getting their business license renewals at the end of this month, middle of this month. With that, we're going to go down to C Street and remind people of the sign ordinance requirements, their boardwalk repair requirements, and then also do grease trap inspections and for the beginning of the season, so we can have a safe community up here for everybody else. With that, you see in the public, we have a new project starting at Tri, 525,000 square foot building. I brought that to you. Basically, we'll go from the truck stop to from Britton to Waltham Way. Been dealing with this gentleman for a year at Chicago, and they are investing about $20 million in this building. Tomorrow I have four different business meetings with new companies that will invest over $100 million down at the park this week. With that, I'd like to invite Shannon Gardner up to give a presentation what he's going to do with some money that Denny got him. And at this time, I'd like Shannon to come up and show you.
Thanks, Dean. Good afternoon, Commissioners, ladies and gentlemen of Story County. I'm Shannon Gardner, the County Building Inspector, and so Dean came up or asked me to come and share with you the details of one of the current special projects that I'm working on. As some of you know, I was substantially involved in the restroom project at the north end of Virginia City that we got opened up last year. And the Virginia City Commission on Tourism, Patrick Gilmore, applied for a grant through the State of Nevada Division of Tourism, a $10,000 grant with a $5,000 in-kind match requirement. And he was awarded that grant this year, or actually midway through 2012, and asked me to help put those grant funds to good use. The grant funds are specifically for further enhancement of our rest stop in, at the north end of Virginia City. And so we're going to use those funds to buy some more interpretive signs and sign mounts for the rest stop, the rest area, the picnic area there, excuse me. We're also going to buy some more waste receptacles, trash cans, if you will, throughout Virginia City. We have been using the old oak wine barrels as trash cans, and we're going to stick with that theme and provide more trash cans up there at the picnic areas. We're also going to put in a doggy waste bag receptacle there so that folks that stop and want to let their pets run around can pick up after their pets conveniently and easily. We're going to put in some holders for brochures for the VCTC to have current flyers up there pertaining to events and attractions in Virginia City. And we're also going to purchase an ore cart to put up there with some of our other mining artifacts and historical elements to add to our interpretive display of the mining history of Virginia City. And so one of the things that I've been working on to go along with that ore cart is to construct a trestle for the ore cart represent the ore cart track coming in to the mining headframe as it would have occurred historically at an operational mine. And we are looking at some in-kind contributions to help make that happen. And so I did a quick drawing to kind of display what that would look like. And I will kind of walk around with this. And this is from the D Street side, looking up at the headframe and rest stop. And you can see the ore cart with a wooden trestle.
I want to let you know that the in-kind, because of Comstock Mining and other people have donated, that we can use that headframe as the in-kind and meet things like that. Denny Dodson has something to say.
Commissioners and public, as you know, Virginia City is a must-see kind of place for anyone visiting northern Nevada. Several years ago, this project, Story County, began as their enhancement project, which involved building a public rest area, a new ADA restroom facilities, picnic tables, landscaping, and interpretive signs, like Shannon had just said. We received federal funding for the project in 2012. Again, the Virginia City Tourism Commission applied for a NCOTS grant, and they were in had their rural roundup 2 weeks ago, which I attended with Patrick, and we were awarded the state's excellent award and grants for a grant that represents the essence of what this this particular program is intended for, and I would like to recognize Virginia City Tourism Commission and Story County for their excellent work. So, with that, we were awarded this at the conference. Come on up here, Bill. Bill started it.
Hi, buddy.
Good. Thanks.
Good. Good.
Shannon didn't know that, I didn't know until this morning that we got an award, and Shannon deserves that award. Many years ago with the community of Virginia City, we started a donation to adopt a streetlight. We started with $5,000, and now I think, and we get comments through NDOT and through the whole state on how beautiful C Street with those streetlights, and now with the headframe. This morning, Pat Witten, county manager, asked us to start working on the south end of the entry into Virginia City and come with an entryway with it. Thank you, Commissioner.
If I may be just a minute, I'd like to do a sidebar here and congratulate everybody that has put in all the efforts here and for the entrance here into Virginia City. And of course, we're a wonderful tourism area, and it benefits the county greatly on a revenue basis. But I'm going to do a sidebar just a minute, because I have had many conversations with folks in Mark Twain, and I've had many conversations with folks down in Lockwood area. And I want you to think about the value, the advantage, and the strengths of these grants. You know, we've sat here this morning and we've heard many department heads talk about the grants. That we've had grants that help our fire department, we have grants that help our building department, we have grants that have put in streetlights, swimming pools, we have grants that have done the entrances. Every one of our communities can benefit from these grants. And I'm going to circle back to you here in a little bit later in our meeting, but I just want you to think in terms of, let's focus some effort and some energy on getting grants across the county. And I know we have in the past, and I know there's some are there, and I'd like to see a much stronger job done at that. So, Dean, thanks for this entree.
Thanks, Dean. Okay. Do you have something, Judy?
Hey, Shannon, before you go, and while Judy's coming up, can you get me a miniaturized version of that we can give to the clerk to be part of the minute, since it was displayed here? Thank you.
If anybody has any questions or comments, there's an input on the project, trustee Mays Lillenberg. Next.
Judy Cohen, resident, business owner, employer, Virginia City. I want to make a comment on that. I think that is one of the best things. There's a reason for that. I say that every time. The best thing that I've seen since I've been here was that rest stop. But it belongs to the people, to be used by the people. And I took great exception last year, as I made it very known verbally, that that was given to the people that sponsored, that were contracted to do street vibrations. They set up their booths. And I feel that the tourists have a right to use it, and that Story County should not allow private enterprise to use our rest stop or the tourist rest stop. And that's what I'd like before it happens again this year, because it really did make a number of people angry. Okay, so please keep that in mind. Okay? Thank you.
Okay, let's get to item number 11.
I'm going to give either Bill or I or Vanessa a chance.
Huh?
You can give either Bill or I or Vanessa a chance for the staff, or you just want to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got anything, Bill?
No,
I'm sorry,
Mr. Chairman, I don't have anything.
I'm confused, huh?
Dean,
I thought maybe you guys wouldn't know.
Dean, used up all of my time.
Of course I do. But the nice thing about going last is several people, as always, have kind of taken care of stuff. So I don't need to talk about SB 272 because Nicole did such a great job. I do want to point out that amongst many bills that we're following, we are watching SJR, Senate Joint Resolution 15. It is a mining debacle. Not so much, well, probably, I think that we have a couple reps here from CMI. They probably would attest it's going to be difficult, but it also is going to literally cause us to have to beef up our assessor's office if this bad bill passes, because somehow there needs to be an assessment of subsurface mineral values in the taxation scheme. So it is bad law that has morphed. I would suggest, if you have any contact with Assemblyman Wheeler, Senator Settlemyer, or any others, urge them, although it has already cleared Senate, I would urge them to not approve SJR 15. We have been neutral up to a recent time. Also want to capitalize on something Lance said, Commissioner Gilman said about grants. With Holly's departure a few months back, we looked at our strongest grant writer in the county, and lo and behold, it was Sharon Nevin. And so if there are any people out there who find sources for monies for their parks, for their community centers, we've got a lot of reps here from the Mark Twain Community Center and also from the River District Senior Centers as well. If you find sources of grants, we will move heaven and earth to help you guys write a successful grant, or at least as well as we can. So don't hesitate to track us down through either Denny or me. We'll get you connected with Sherry. I just want to point out, too, again, Paul did a great job. He's been a breath of fresh air. Looks like he's left already. But not only is he doing this for free, he's not related to anybody on staff currently. So also, on a positive note, Denny did a great job staffing the cleanup efforts and complimented Chief Hames and Mike Nevin. But I want to compliment a very silent person who stepped in, clear from overseas, from Hawaii, and injected a new level of leadership. And I want to thank Commissioner or Vice Chairman McBride for really embracing this and helping us discover new ways. And then lastly, and I guess I can't say this guy is free, but he does so much with so little. A year ago, we spent $105,000 on library services, and we're really never able to determine utilization and use. And we've always known that we did not want to completely walk away from the library and be the only county in Nevada without a library. And in my 15 years here and 20 years in banking, I've met a lot of persistent people. But I think, like Hugh said, if you looked up persistent in the dictionary, you'd see Sean Griffin's picture right there. He has taken a $105,000 budget and said, please, 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 for $7,500 max, I can give you the law library with Bill Maddox's help. We can rejoin the Klan, which eliminates this unfortunate charge where our residents are charged if they want to use library services in Carson City or Washoe. And most importantly, I'm excited about this, it also gets us into the ebook platform business as well, where for those of us that may not read hard copy books that often but still love to read, we should be in the ebook service hopefully sometime late summer, early fall, with again Sean and Debbie's and everybody's team. So I want to thank Sean for hanging with us and getting us there. And I'm betting on May 20th, when the final budget is presented to this esteemed board, that for $7,500, they'll not only say yeah, they'll say hell yeah. So great job, Sean.
Not a nickel more.
Thank you. That's it.
Okay. All right. What am I on here? 11 is... we need to direct some attention to changing the verbiage in our county ordinance here and getting the Virginia City Highlands designated as congested areas. So I think we have a pretty good idea of what's going on up there with the trapping and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Valerie, are you here? Come on up. You want to kick this off and just kind of give us the quick facts, facts, figures, who's doing what.
Okay.
We'll get to, we're looking for ideas if there's anything else you want to change in the ordinance besides the signs, you know, any other ideas you may have.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, first of all, gentlemen. Thank you for putting this on the agenda. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
I've been a resident of Virginia City Highlands for 22 years. And when I moved up there, I had horses, and I rode literally all over the Highlands. And way up on Sheridan, way out on Barrel Springs, yeah, way out on Long Valley, out in that area, there were signs that said congested area. Discharging of a firearm is illegal. So I and many others of us have understood this to be a congested area as far as firearms were concerned.
Ditto.
Ditto. So it came to my attention and a number of other residents a few months back that someone was trapping in the Highlands. And then I became aware of another gentleman trapping in the Highlands. And I was 100% sure this was not legal. So I called dispatch, I spoke with the deputy, and she informed me that, in fact, it was legal. But we talked about firearms also, because there was mention of him shooting coyotes on his property, and she said that is not legal in this area within 1,000 feet of another home. So I started doing a little research, and at the Neighborhood Watch meeting last month, I spoke with Sheriff Antonoro about the trapping issue. And I said, how do we go about changing this, because this is not right? And he absolutely agreed. He said it's not appropriate here. And he directed me to Mr. Witten and Mr. Maddox, and I started with Bill. And he wasn't totally familiar with the trapping because it hadn't been addressed up to that point. So he also directed me to Story County Code, Chapter 6.08, Animal Trapping, Section 0.030. Quote, it is unlawful for any person within the congested areas of the county to set or maintain a trap. So herein lies the problem. If we are considered, or have been in the past, a congested area, that would also apply to our community as far as trapping is concerned. I sent Mr. Witten a number of responses regarding this, and there's one in particular. I don't have a date on it, but it was written by Carl Woodmancy. I seem to recall doing an article in the Nevada Appeal where Harold Swofford was supposed to draw up a trapping ordinance. This was after Larry Ryan's dog got his leg caught in someone's trap. Don't know if anything came of it. The issue just kind of dropped off the radar.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened to it either. But it has been addressed in the past. It was an issue in the past. And excuse me a minute while I get this squared away. And Story County Code Chapter 9.16.010 definitions explains what a congested area is and lists Virginia City, Gold Hill, Mark Twain. We're not included in that. And when I requested that this be addressed, I also put in Virginia Ranches. Virginia City Highlands is the 1 acre. The Highland Ranches, I guess, are the 10. Virginia Ranches are the 40, inclusively known as Virginia City Highlands. So I specifically asked for all of those areas to be included in the definition of a congested area.
I think I'll throw a couple of comments in here. First of all, there's a bill in the that's passed Senate. It's over on the Assembly side right now that addresses trapping in general in Nevada, and it's going to put some pretty heavy restrictions. Number one, traps will have to be registered with the state. They'll have to be engraved with numbers and et cetera, et cetera. You'll have to check your traps every 24 hours instead of 96 hours. You will be required to have some sort of a post or with a flag on top of it to readily identify it to passers-by. And if a member of the public finds a trap that is in clearly jeopardizes public safety, you will now, if this bill passes, be able to either spring the trap or remove it completely, which in the past was against the law. So we're waiting to see what happens on that. Obviously, we need to change the verbiage in our county code here. And I've already been asked to not include the 40 acres by some of the 40-acre residents. That we would change it to 1 acre, 10 acres, I think, and this is just me talking. But I have been asked by some of the 40-acre people if we make it a congested area out in the 40s, that would eliminate people from target shooting on their own property, would eliminate, obviously, the trapping, any other type of discharge of firearms, and if I was a 40-acre owner and the county did that to me, I would be suing the county for a pretty good sum of money for degrading the value of my property. So that's my opinion.
Well, that's not my personal opinion, but at some point those 40 acres are going to get developed more so than they are now, and we're going to run into the same problem. And people who use Long Valley, you've got houses that you can see when you go by there, shooting off a firearm up there too. It still can be dangerous to the public.
So that's obviously that's going to be a point of contention. Do you have any questions for Valerie or comments at this point?
Absolutely. I'm trapping in a congested community area with children and pets and loved ones and everything else. I don't think it's appropriate, and I support her position.
I don't either.
Cool. Oh, bring that up.
Yeah,
sure.
Bring that up. I couldn't see what you had.
She brought up a map of the Highlands.
Yeah,
cool. Okay.
That's exactly what we're talking about. The bill that the chairman's talking about, Senate Bill 213, is actually being heard by the Senate.
I'm familiar with that.
Being heard by the Senate today.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it is, and it's really tightening up the trapping.
Wants to leave that in here.
And so
that's good there, Jana. Thanks. Appreciate it.
How the contract was renewed too.
Sure.
Yeah, let's get some more folks up here and have some more.
And I'll stay.
Comments.
Stay. Cynthia Kennedy also wanted.
Well, Jeff, you going to come up?
Yeah, sure. We'll get some more
Go
folks
ahead.
Up here.
Okay.
My name is Mavis Leafley, Pat Whitten, and Chairman Phil Shalongan, and County Commissioners. I've lived in the Highlands since 1995. I'm just going to tell you, I'm a native Nevadan, third generation, and my grandfather was born outside of here in Empire. So I understand the importance of fishing, hunting, and trapping. I mean, that's what he did in the 1890s and the beginning of the 1900s. But what I've been reading the blog, the Virginia City Highlands blog. If you can't sleep at night, it's a really good thing to read. And some of the comments made really were frightening to me because some of the people said they have rights to trap. And I do know my neighbor on Combination does trap. But as we know, with rights comes responsibility. And I think that's really important. You might have a right to do certain things, but it's not responsible. And Valerie and I and some of our friends, we walk 5 days a week. You walk six. And we have a dog. And, yes, the dog is not on a leash. Our dogs aren't. Maybe that's wrong. But he goes free. And I'm not saying he's on private property. And we have grandchildren. They're not on leashes, but they walk. And we don't want someone to get hurt, and that's part of being responsible. And there's a lot of areas in Nevada where trapping can be allowed and should be allowed, but not where people live. And we want all to live together peacefully in this land, you know, with coyotes and everything. And trapping in the Highlands would cause a lot of harm to people, grandchildren, and dogs. So.
If you look up on the DFW site under trapping, the very first paragraph, DFW talks about your responsibilities versus what's legal, and they make there's quite a bit of conversation on that that you should be really considerate of your neighbors and not trap where children and dogs and things can get caught in traps and blah blah blah. And of course, if
what's the number on that 213?
Yeah, SB 213.
So if SB 213 comes along, that is a...
I think some of our neighbors don't know, but I think people in general should be considerate and kind. It would be a much better world.
Yeah, absolutely.
But trapping, for sure, I don't think should be allowed in the Highlands. Thank you for your time.
Mavis, before you go, may I? One is, and again, Valor and I are in total agreement on the ones and tens. Mm-hmm. And I respectfully don't necessarily agree with the 40s. I think as you're coming up, Cynthia coming up, if you can let us know of the 40s, but before you do... I'm assuming staff's going to get directed to draft ordinances together with our legal counsel. And there's a possibility, because I know several 40-acre owners, you know, some of them have improved their property, some of them haven't. You know, we might be able to explore while we're drafting this ordinance the possibility of excluding trapping
only on the 40s and leaving the right to discharge firearms still there. You can separate those out.
Good, exactly.
Trapping seems to be the issue.
The issue, right, yeah.
And by the way, for the record, I've not gotten a single phone call or email or anything in opposition of this. I mean, VRWPA has weighed in through Bob, and I would offer that as possible.
Well, the opposition that comes from the block on the Virginia City Highlands, and there was a lot of opposition against making a law, but of course there's always, you know, for and against, so I just wanted to share my
blog, I'll probably be a subject to the blog yet again by saying this, but the blog isn't the
majority.
Decision-making
right.
body.
Right. Or the majority.
Right. And the point is to develop a good ordinance. And that's why we read ordinances twice, solicit this kind of support and opposition, you know, again, during that process.
And I would like to say, too, if there's an issue with the 40 acres, that the whole thing doesn't get dropped, that you still proceed with our 1 acre and 10 acre parcels.
Yeah, Valerie, there's a number of things we can do. I can tell you in Nevada right now, you can set poison bait out. That's legal. You can use snares. You can use new house traps. You can use the standard Victor steel jaws, and you can also use the humane box traps. California now pretty much has limited their trapping to humane live box traps only, so if you do catch the wrong critter, you can just open the door and they're gone. And with the 24-hour, if we get the Senate bill through, 24 hours, most animals will be just fine after 24 hours in the box. Mm-hmm. So those are some things that we can do to possibly mitigate in Story County some of the trapping end of it. And we can, as Pat says, we can split the firearms and hunting out from the trapping. This, of course, is when we get a mock-up done of the ordinance, we'll send that into legal, which will have to go to DFW for their approval, because they're the ones that call the shots on this, not the county. Mm-hmm. This is an area of gray area, I believe, for county commissioners to get involved in. So this.
Well, I think because you have the voice and you're listening to our voices, we really appreciate it, because you can send the message on what the citizens of Virginia City Islands.
I believe we're all pretty much on the same page. Yeah.
Wonderful.
But could we hear from some of the other folks?
Thank you very much for your time.
But regardless of what the trapping regulations become, how stringent they are, no matter what.
Cynthia, this lady right here. Yeah, come on up. Come on up. Come up. Walk up here. Sit down right there. That's for Cynthia.
So my last point was, no matter what regulations come down the pike, no matter how stringent they are, it's still inappropriate, does not belong in our community.
Okay.
So that regulates trapping, where trapping is allowed, that's wonderful, but not where we are.
We're on the same page. Okay.
Thank you for your time, Jim. I appreciate
no problem. That. We call you. So, go ahead. I grabbed you first.
My name is Donna. I am a resident of the Highland. I wanted to know if there's any differentiation made between someone who traps because they have nuisance animals on their property and people who are trapping for the pelts so that they can gain profit. Is there any stipulation made to separate those two things? Because this person, one of the people they were talking about, was killing bobcats and selling their pelts so he could buy himself a new Harley Davidson. And I want to know if anything can be done in that aspect, that he's trapping in what I would consider to be professional because he's making money off of it.
DFW makes some differentiation. The thing that I believe that we're looking for is not trapping kids and dogs and cats. And beyond that, I don't think DFW is going to let us do a whole lot. We'll certainly ask. But yes, there is a difference between commercial trappers and hobby trappers who trap for pelts and just keep them for their own use. I trap. not dry land. I used to do wetland trapping for beaver, but yeah, there are some differences there. There's also the difference if you're overrun with skunks and raccoons, you can use the box traps to get them off your property. I was overrun once with skunks, and I took care of that.
And I understand what you're saying about following the Senate bill that's in there, but that does not, horses, wild horses, children, and animals cannot read flag signs and stuff like that. So I don't see how that helps the problem that our wild horses may walk into one of those traps or someone's child or someone's dog. So I myself, personally speaking for myself, would like to see it addressed with you because we can't wait for the Senate to get their act together because the animals will be gone by then.
Donna, I think too, we've got, once we get a commission vote on, hopefully authorization to begin the drafting of it, we will check with DFW because I know we have one battalion chief that has been issued predator permits before, specifically for the types of things where, you know, the mountain lions, bobcats, coyotes even, you know, are posing a danger to the same groups that you're talking about.
I guess my problem is I have a problem with somebody who kills the animals that belong to all of us in terms of we're stewards of the land to buy himself personal items.
We don't look at the animal rights thing from this end of here.
Why not? Do they not have rights?
For instance, there's a difference between trapping bobcats and coyotes. Coyotes are not protected. Bobcats are. The coyotes just have to get a better lobbyist. Well, that's all I can tell you. But there are differences in DFW and the law, and that's what we have to look at is the law. But we will, when we get everyone up here given a chance to talk, we'll come to a vote here, and we'll get something going on this, and we'll get a mock-up of an ordinance, and then we'll put that out, and everyone can look at that and see if they want to add, subtract, change. Okay, and that's what we're looking for is ideas.
Okay.
What you would like to see changed, Cynthia.
I'm Cynthia Kennedy. I'm a resident of the Highlands at 5030 Fandango Pass. First, I want to make sure that everyone in the room understands that the commissioners have been very cooperative in this issue. I've had some dialogue with Mr. Witten and Savangan, and they have been very cooperative. I do want to disagree with one of the former speakers who was speaking about the Highlands chat list, which I follow quite closely. There are several people on that chat list, as you know, who are regular posters, and it may have seemed like there were quite a few people supporting trapping, but it was just because one or two people were posting so often in their support. I found that most of the people on there were against it. The other thing I wanted to talk about that this brought to mind is a conversation I had with Sheriff Antonaro a few months ago, and we were talking about the nuisance horses in town, and I asked him, well, why did you call up the Department of Ag to get rid of those horses? And he said, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. They're a nuisance. When I have a nuisance animal, they're under the aegis of the Department of Ag. And I said, well, Jerry, could you do me a favor and call up the Department of Ag and ask them to get rid of all the wood rats that have chewed up the wiring in my car for the past 25 years? Because I've only spent thousands of dollars and wept when we've realized that we have yet again been victims to the wood rats. Now, that's where this ties in with this issue, is that these animals that they want to trap, the coyotes, the bobcats, whatever, whether they're on 1 acre or 10 acres or 40 acres, these animals don't know boundary lines, and these are animals that help keep these vermin under control. If there was no one living out there, there could be a million wood rats and a million coyotes or bobcats, and it wouldn't matter. But that's not the case. We have households with garages and attics and cars and trucks that are parked outside and not in garages. And if these predatory animals are trapped, that makes a field day for the little animals that want to chew up our wiring and make nests in our attics and our storage units. The last thing I want to do, I did submit a letter with my husband to the commission when we asked that this be put on the agenda, for which we're very grateful. And most of the topics in my letter were covered, but I just wanted to read another paragraph in there. The Virginia Range Wildlife Protection Association has tried to protect the animals we all enjoy here in the Highlands for over 3 decades. It seems rather inconsistent to allow trapping in an area that is widely regarded for its diversity of wildlife, with the assumption that these animals live in an area that is protected. We recall the effort by Mr. Gilman and others to introduce desert sheep to the range, and now this effort has been so successful, it would be counterproductive to have one of them injured or killed by a trap. This could also be the same fate for a wild horse, deer, mountain lion, bobcat, or even a cherished pet. The absolute worst would be the possible injury of a child. Animals and young children can't read, and no amount of signage or flags could protect the curious or unaware from harm. Thank you very much for considering our request that trapping is eliminated from the Virginia City Highlands. As Gandhi said, the greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Real short. My name is Bonnie Matten. I am not from the Virginia Highlands.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi there.
How are you? Nice
I'm
to see
fine.
You.
Nice to see you again. I'm from the, my husband and I and neighbors are from Mark Twain area. About 2 months ago, one of our dogs got loose, and we are on Territory Road, and so we have about the 40-acre parcels in back of us till you get to the hills, and every once in a while they get loose. And one of our dogs was caught. He disappeared for 2 days, and we didn't know where he was. Obviously, we looked everywhere and everywhere, and I figured he was in a trap. So he actually came down 2 days later on three legs. He had the back right leg swollen probably three times as much, the back foot. Took him to the vet, definitely a trap. Now, our veterinarian explained to me that there are two kinds of traps now. There is the regular traps with teeth that break bones. There are what they call humane traps, which catches the foot. He luckily was in that trap, and our vet said that usually licensed trappers will use those, and when they see a dog in it or something, they will let it out. And obviously this is what happened to our dog. With that question, I would like to be able to get a number where I can talk with somebody and ask them what our boundaries are for traps. We have a lot of people in our Mark Twain and the Mark Twain Hills, and this was definitely a trap.
Call me. 968. Okay.
Great. That's all I have to say. Except that regarding wild horses, nuisance wild horses are only nuisance because people out of the kindness of their hearts feed them. So it is against the law in Nevada to feed or harass wild horses, but that is what causes most of our wild horse
nuisance. All right, I'm going to get in the horse stuff.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Who else has got? Come on up. How you doing? Nice to see you.
And I'm just here as a representative of the Virginia Range Wildlife Protection Association, and all we wanted to say was that we are in support of banning the trapping in the Virginia City Highlands and are respectfully requesting that you amend Section 9.16.010 to clarify and, if necessary, include Virginia City Highlands as well as the Highland Ranches. And we thank you for taking your time to hear us today.
Probably have to modify a couple of ordinances.
So that was it. We're just in full support of it. Thank you.
Jerry,
come on up. I'll just be very brief. I do support the comments that have been made. I grew up trapping, well-versed in how it's done. Had a great conversation with Val about it out in Highlands. There's a number of things in the ordinance, not only specifically naming the Highlands as a congested area. And Bonnie, just so you know, Mark Twain is already listed.
What I wanted to find, Sheriff, is on a GIS display just like this, how far out does it go?
Right. Go out into the... Well, and that was the main purpose of my coming up. There seems to be some debate over the 40 acres. Based on my experiences with trapping, domestic animals will wander a very long way from a community. I can understand the concerns with shooting on the backside of some of the 40s, and might be something to consider breaking trapping out specifically, because they will wander a very long ways. But I support Bell and the others in prohibiting trapping in the Highlands.
Yeah, I think if we're going to open this up, probably want to look at the whole spectrum of things here and get it all done and one time.
Well, I have a question for the sheriff. When we're looking at designating congested areas to do this, it looks like the ones and tens was just an oversight. For some reason, it hasn't been put into county ordinance. To include all of the Highlands, that would forbid you from also hunting out there. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that's and of course the 40s. That's always been a pretty good place to go hunting out there. So that's something that's going to have to be taken into consideration. Following up with that, I guess we could we can disallow trapping and still allow hunting, right? Yep.
Do that.
Things like that.
And again, that's where I'd want to pursue it with our DA. But yeah, yes, I think you could define the ones and tens as congested, period, and the 40s as congested for trapping purposes. Would be the approach I'd suggest we take.
Possible.
Well, if I can offer, I think we even need to work on what congested area is. The definition as it exists, basically anywhere in the world could fall into a congested area based on the way it's worded right now, where uncontrolled discharge of a firearm would result in the greatest risk of injury to life and limb. Anywhere there's an uncontrolled discharge of a firearm, that can happen. But specifically, and that's the concern that's been voiced, there's specific areas designated in the ordinance. If we do a specific designation to the ones and the tens, and then debatable as far as how you want to proceed with the 40s, but we need to clean up the definition of congested area also.
Thank you.
Is there anyone out there in favor of trapping that would like to? Besides myself, who would? Any other comments from anyone? If not, I'll entertain then a motion from the board.
At this time, Mr. Chairman, I move we direct staff to draft some type of terminology, amending county ordinance in reference to congested areas and trapping.
Okay.
To work with the wishes of the residents.
Okay.
A second.
A second?
Yeah.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. You got that.
And with that vote, with that vote, I would just tell Val and a few others, drafting of an ordinance is going to take us a little while. I'm not talking months, but we have some other potential flaws in the ordinance as well, and that even the definitions for Virginia City and Gold Hill are problematic in that they really aren't townships. So we've got some research time, probably 30 days max. But
remember, when you're in,
we will work on it.
Thank you.
When you're in Story County, what you see isn't always what you think it is. It's not necessarily. Okay, it is after 3:30. Let's take 10 minutes or so recess here, and we have all been here for 3.5 hours. I need to go move my desk.